Okay, we're beginning here in the middle of Ayin Vav and Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "An oseh isha kohenet, someone who is going to marry an isha kohenet, tzarich b'doka chareha arba imahot, they have to check at least four mothers, shein shmonet, which turns out to be eight individuals or generations that they're going to have to check, which the Mishnah will delineate in a minute. Now, as far as what the scenario is here, based on the remainder of the Mishnah, Tosafot over here, say that the explanation of the Mishnah, as you can see in Tosafot, is perish kohen shebal isa isha kohenet. The case where a kohen is coming to marry a kohenet, and then these are the requirements for him to check out this woman, because mishum shanu rutzim shena yishamei shagam mizbeach. We want the child born to this marriage to be able to serve in the Mikdash and continue in the footsteps of his father to serve as a kohen. So this is a special checking that is done by the kohen in order to ensure that when he gets married, or the woman that he's going to marry, will be able to provide him with a son that will fill his shoes and be able to act as a kohen and do the avodah. Now, there are other rishonim who believe that this check is not unique to a kohen, but belongs to anybody who's coming to marry in these situations. And we'll see in a second that for Leviyah and Yisraelit, you have to actually do more checks. And that might have to do with the fact that the family of the kohenet has already done some of these checks or involves kohanim. So these families already, who were much more careful about yichus because of the impact on the families of the kohanim. So therefore, the kohenet is unique in this situation versus the Israelit or the Leviyah, who would require more checking. But the other question is, what exactly are we checking for? And the machlok about what you're checking for might also influence who you think has to make these checks. Rashi says over here, Botkim, Shelo Hayu Mamzerot, or Achat Min HaPsulot LeKahal, that the check here is both to ensure that there is no Mamzer or Mamzeret mixed up in the family, as well as any other Psul Lavo LeKahal, any other Psul that prevent them from coming into the Kahal. Tosafot does not love that explanation of Rashi because of the Gemara that suggests that this check is only done on the woman, but the woman doesn't have to do this check on the man, because only a kohen is mitzuveh to check and make sure that he's marrying a proper individual, whereas a kohenet, as we saw earlier in the Gemara, has no requirement of marrying a particular individual or a particular yichus. And he says, if the check was for mamzerut, that answer of the Gemara doesn't make so much sense, because the problem of mamzerut equally applies to a kohen as it does to a kohenet. So you must be speaking about something that is unique to the families of Kohanim, and therefore the Tosafot says, "V'kein tzarich lomar d'choshesh matnitanu mishum chalalot," that the reason or the check in the Mishnah is referencing someone who's checking for a chalal, something that's particular to Kohanim, something that's particularly difficult for a kohen, because if a kohen marries a woman that is not miyuchaset or has one of these issues that makes her psula de kuna, then the child that is born will be a kohen chalal and will not be able to do anything. He's not really a kohen in terms of kedushah anymore. And therefore, the kohen has to make the care to check about the woman. But the woman, if she marries a chalal, that won't have any impact in terms of the children, because she is muteret to marry a chalal. The problem with that explanation is that then the Mishnah continues and says that you have to do extra checks for a Israelite and a Leviyah. Now, in families of a Israelite and a Leviyah, the issue of chalalut is not really a big issue. It's not really relevant. It's relevant in families of Kohanim. It's not relevant to the families of the Israelite and Leviyah. If that's the case, what's the Mishnah speaking about? If you're talking about psulei kahal, if you're talking about mamzerut, that's equally applicable to Kohanim or families of Kohanim, a kohenet, as it is to a Israelite and a Leviyah. And therefore, Tosafot continues and says, v'yesh lomar, de'ikar b'dika v'takana mishum psul chalalut, that the main stay or the main reason for these checks over here is because they're searching for chalalot. But agav b'dikah de chalalot, but keinami heicha de lo shayach al psul mamzerot. While they're already at it and they're looking for chalalot, they also look for mamzerot. But in cases where, like the Leviyah Israelit, where chalalot is not relevant at all, then the only thing they can check for is mamzerot, and that's what they will be checking for in that way. So in the end, Tosafot in some ways comes back to Rashi's explanation by saying that, yes, we are checking for mamzerut, but that's only as a secondary nature. But in instances where there's no chalalut to check, like by the Leviyah and Israelit, we're makbid that you check for the mamzerut, or issues of people are precluded from coming into the kahal, we'll make those checks, because otherwise there'd be nothing to check at all. And now the individuals that you have to check for this, according to the Balei Tosafot, the Kohen who is going to marry a Kohenet, or for other individuals, according to some of the other Rishonim that are getting married, that have to make these checks. You have to check Ima, her mother, Ve'im Ima, and her mother's mother, or her maternal grandmother, Ve'im Avi Ima. They have to check the mother of her mother's father, or in essence, to check her maternal grandfather's mother, Vima, and her mother, which in essence is her maternal grandfather's maternal grandmother, Vima Via, and her father's mother, or in essence her paternal grandmother, Vima, and her mother in addition to that, which is her paternal grandmother's mother, Ve'im Avia Viha, and the mother of her paternal grandfather, Ve'ima, and her mother, which in essence is her paternal grandfather's maternal grandmother. So those are the 8 women that you need to check. They all come in pairs. It's a woman and the mother, and each side of the family, on the mother's side of the family, as well as the father's side, but starting from the female above him. And then on the father's side, you have the same thing. The mothers of the father, as well as the mothers of the father of the father. And that's what gets you the 8 individuals that you're going to check. Now the Girsa, according to Rashi, going forward here, and the next line of the Mishnah is Levia v'Israelit. When it comes to a Kohen who's marrying a Levia or Israelit, then Mosifim aleim od echad. Then we add on an additional layer of checking, meaning one more level of check. And so then you go from 8, you'd add on another mother to each of these scenarios, and you would actually make a check of 12 individuals in that case. There is an alternate girsa, like the Ramban, who has a girsa here that is not Leviyah v'Israelit, but rather Leviim v'Israelim, which is because if until now we were speaking about a Kohen and checking out for the Kohen, now we're saying that a Leviim and Israelim also have to do a similar check. But that means that whatever the Gemara was discussing, as Tosafot points out, only relates to the Kohen and the issues that are problematic for the Kohen. On the other hand, this part of the Mishnah that says we're talking about Levi'im v'Israelim, we're making checks for Mamzerut and items that are relevant for a Levi in Israel, then that check would be equal, meaning that you'd have to make the same check for the woman's side as you would for the men's side, as opposed to the Kohen who's checking out the Kohenet. Because over there, they're looking for specific issues for the kihuna. There, it's only relevant to the Kohen. For the Kohenet, it's not really relevant because she's not nitztava on those issues. So in the first part of the Mishnah, we're talking about a Kohen. In this next part of the Mishnah, we're talking about a Levi in Israel. But within Levi Israel, we're also checking for those different items. So in some way, the Ramban is taking up the sheet of the Balei HaTosafot, but he's doing it in a way that says that these checks in this latter part of the Mishnah is not just for a Kohen marrying these types of women, but for a Levi in Israel themselves. And in that case, the Levi in Israel and the Leviyah in Israelit will all be the same. They all need to do checks on each other in order to ensure that there are no psulim in this situation. Ein bodkim lo min hamizbeach ulamalo. If you're already doing a check in a family, and you get to an individual who is servicing on the mizbeach, you no longer have to do any more checks. That's what Rashi says. If he's going through some sort of checks with regards to the mothers, and then he realizes that her grandfather was Shimei Shel Mizbeach, Biyadua Shem Miuchasu. Then you know for sure that he's Miuchas, and you don't have to do any more checking, because by the mere fact that they let him work on the Mizbeach, means that that was checked out. If he's already checked out, then you don't have to duplicate the checks, because he's already gotten a stamp of approval by the fact that he works on the Mizbeach. Tosafot on the Amud Bet asks, Vim tomar nitnei nami en bodkim nisiat kapayim ulamalo, uchumot ulamalo. Why don't we also say that once you know that a Kohen was duchening in the Mikdash, or he was eating truma, that we don't have to check out that individual any longer? Vyesh tomar, the gamza ainu rebuta. You have to say that that's not a big chiddush. Kevin de lo shayach ele bekohanim. Because that's only relevant by Kohanim. Aval hadetnan en bodkim nisbeach ulamalo. That which we just read in the Mishnah that says Ein Bodkim Mizbeach Lamala Rebutahu. It's a huge chiddush. Demairi Afilu Bavodot Akshirot Bizarim. Because it's speaking about avodah that is even done by non-Kohanim. That means that the things like Shechita, which can be done by Israel, if Israel is permitted to do Shechita and did Shechita by the Mizbeach, then you can assume that his Yichu is checked out and you have to check anymore. That's what the Balei HaTosafot say. He runs into a little problem because Aisha, even a woman, or even an Eved can do the Shechita. He says, but that's only b'diavad. The Chatchila, we try to get Yisrael Miuchasim to do those Avodot that are Ksherim Bizarim. And therefore, Tosfot over here says, Ein Bodkim in Mizbeach HaLamal is not uniquely about Kohanim. It also has application by Yisraelim as well. And that's a very big Chiddush to say that that's the reverence here by Mizbeach HaLamal. But Tosfot is trying to say, what's the Chiddush here? Because the Mishnah could have mentioned Nisiut Kopayim, could have mentioned Truma. The other possible answer to that question, the Tosafot, is to say that this is according to those Shitot that say that Nisiut Kapayim or Truma were not Malei LeYuchasin. And according to those opinions, then this Mishnah doesn't bring those examples because they are not relevant. And therefore, Tosafot says the absence in our Mishnah also of the fact that someone who signed on a shtar is also considered to be Miuchas is left out, because there's no Chiddush in that. Obviously, someone who was allowed to be an aid on a shtar was checked out by the Beit Din. And of course, that would be a way to validate the individual, and you wouldn't have to do any more checks. The Mishnah doesn't mention it because it's such an obvious outcome. V'lo min ha-duchan ulamalo, and not from the duchan and upwards, Rashi mentions over here, she'amad et ha-levim b'duchan l'sheirer shir. If he was amongst the Levim that sang by the duchan, then this is also something where the Yichus was checked out. And the Yichus checked out, you don't have to go any further. Below mina Sanhedrin ulamalo, and not from the Sanhedrin, as Rashi notes over here, that's both the Sanhedrin Agdola and the Sanhedrin Aktana, but it's not referring to a regular Dayan, it's referring to these specific individuals who were placed on the Sanhedriot. In those cases, again, those people that are placed are only Miuchasim, so you find an individual who was a member of the Sanhedrin, you don't have to worry again about their yichus going back. And anybody who has forefathers or family that were amongst the Shotrei Arabim, now over here you have different explanations of what Shotrei Arabim, whether this means these are the sheriffs that enforce the dinim of the Beitin, or whether Rashi says on the Amud Bet that these are Dayanim Ba'alma, that these are regular Dayanim, the Gabayt Staka, or someone that was appointed as a Gabayt Staka, Masih and the Kuna, they can marry the Kuna, you don't have to check their Yichus, because by definition, if they were appointed to these positions of power, you can assume that they had good Yichus, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that there's a requirement that those individuals be Miuchasim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Mishaya Chatum, Eid, Berchei Yishana Shel Tzipori, Rashi claims Hayishana is the location or a name of a place that is proximate to Tzipori, but you could say that the Yishana here is modifying the Archei, which means that they are in the old registers of Tzipori. Now, there are two different ways to read this. One reads Hashaya Chatum Eid. That's the Miuchus here, is the fact that they were an aid in this location. Others, like Rashi, suggest not that they were Eidim, but rather they were appointed as judges in these locations, and the person was appointed a judge in that location is Hayum Yuchasim. Because Vim al Seder Ploni Plonim Yuchasim Ein, Shein Rigilim Bnei Amakom Limnot Dayan Sheinu Miuchas. So they used to document the fact that these individuals were the Dayanim, and in doing so, it also gave them credibility with the Yichus, because they would only appoint in these locations people who were Miuchas to be regular Dayanim. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, Af Mishaya Muchtav Bistratia Shel Melech. Also someone else who, was in the enlistment of the king, they also are Miuchasim. The Gemara discussed what exactly that is referring to. The Gemara says, Maishna ben Ishei Badkinan, Maishna ben Gavrei Lo Badku. Why is there a difference in the Mishnah where the man is enjoined to check the woman's Yichus, but we don't have something that is quid pro quo where the woman checks the yichus of the man? Gemara says, "Neshei dechim mintzu ba'adayododi." Women, when they quarrel and they fight, then ba'arayotu demintzu. So when they want to put down another woman or they want to denigrate her, then they speak about her znot, extramarital affairs, her infidelity. Those are the things that come up in such fights. V'imita dika milta loit lekala. But if there was some issue that made her into a psula, that wouldn't come out in the fight. That is something that she could keep private. That's something that is not easily discerned. And therefore, you'd have to do checks to find out whether this family has issues with it. On the other hand, Gavrei Dechiminsu about Deododi, when men quarrel or fight or have arguments, Biuchasinu the Minsei, then if they go to put each other down, to denigrate each other. They do it in the matters of Yuchasin. And therefore, mita deika milta itle kalo. If there is an issue in the yichus of this individual, it'll come out because nobody gets through life without having altercations. And those altercations, the way that people gain the upper hand is by putting down the other party. And they do that by using yichus or lack of yichus or problems in yichus in order to denigrate those individuals. And therefore, it'll be a public matter. It says, Vihi nami tibdok bei bidi day. So now it seems like the Gemara is narrowing the question and saying, why does the Kohen have an obligation like this, but not the Kohenet? And this is Misaili the Rav to something that we already saw on Dafayin Gimel, Damar Rav Yudam Rav, Lohusuru Kshirot Inasei Lepsulim. There is no requirement of a Bat Kohen or a Kohenet to marry someone who is not problematic for the Kohen, meaning that she's Mutaret to marry whomever she wants. She has no requirement of Yichus. She doesn't have a problem of not marrying an Eved, Knani, Mishuchrar, Eger, or anybody else, where a Kohen would be problematic, or a Garush, where it would be problematic for a Kohen. And that's why the Mishnah only speaks about the Kohen making a check, and not the Kohenet making such a check. And as Rashi notes over here, Kevin Doig, Pida Torah Lehem Liuchasin, Rabbana No, Abdi Behu Ma'alea, Lachsarinu B'dika. So just like the Torah doesn't worry about the Yuchasin with regards to the woman, so too the Chachamim didn't intervene to put in place their safeguards of having her check out. What about the fact that she needs to check not for problems of Kohanim, but she has to check just basic problems like issues like Mamzerut and Shtukot? Rashi says that's only when there's some sort of rumor or issue that has surfaced, then you have to make a check. Simply just for because of that chashash, we want to do the check. So either you're doing the check because there's something that is bringing up questions about the Yichus, or you're doing the check because that's a mala that they did by Yuchasin for the Kohanim, and in doing so, once they're checking already for the Chalalut and the problems of Kohanim, they also checked for the Mamzerut, which is the Shita of Rashi. But if there's no requirement of Torah, and there's no Chashash, like the case of a Kohenet, then the Rabbanan didn't impose any checks whatsoever, and you would not have to do a check, not for the issues of Kohanim, which the Torah doesn't require, but not even the questions of Mamzerut and other issues, because if there's no suspicion, there's no reason for us to make a Mala B'Yuchasin to do these checks that are unnecessary. Tani Daladi Mahot Shem Shtemisri. Rav Bava says that there are four mothers, meaning that you're looking at four different branches of the lineage tree, and they turn out to be 12 women. Matnita Tano and a bright we have Dali Mahot Shem Sheshesre. There are four branches of the tree that turn out to be 16. Bishlam other Ravada Baavo. When we're speaking about Ravada Baavo, Mokim La Bilivia Bat Israel. The case that he is addressing is a case where we're talking about a Livia of Israel, or according to the Ramban, we're talking about Livim and Israelim, where there's a requirement to go another generation of mothers. So if you do that, then you can add on an additional four mothers, which will make up 12, and that's what he's speaking about. Ela matnita, neima pliga. Let us say that the Braita argues on our Mishnah, where it says, lo, mayod achat. What does it mean, one extra generation? When it says, by the via Israelit, that you add on one more, zug achat. Means not adding on one more generation, one more mother in each of the branches, but rather, adding on another pair. As you see in the Mishnah, there's always a woman and her mother. So when they added on a new group to the additional checks, they would add another woman and her mother. So there'd be two people added in each instance, would add another 8 women that you would have to check, and that would be a total of 16. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Kol Mishpachot Bechatzkat Kashrut Ein Omdot. Like we saw back in Daf Ayin Bet, the same thing about the first Mishnah in the Perek, that this Mishnah, or these series of Mishnayot, are authored by Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim disagree, and say that all these mishpachot have a chezkat kashrut, unless there's some question that arises. When it says, Ini, is that really true? V'amar Rav Chama Bagri Yom Rav, so this is also in the name of Rav, Mishnatenu, our Mishnesh Kukore Alav Arar. It's a case where there were suspicions that arose, and that's why you have to do the checks. As Rashi notes over here, even the Chachamim agree, if there are suspicions that arise, then you would have to do checks. So why are you saying that our Mishnah is only Rabbi Meir, when clearly, if it's about an issue where someone raised suspicions here, then also the Chachamim would agree. So Mar says, Man de matniha, lo matniha. Whoever brought this in the name of Rav didn't bring this in the name of Rav. I mean, Rav Yehuda Marav is one memra, and Rav Chama Bar Gurion, the name of Rav, is another memra, and they don't disagree. They argue about what Rav's position here, whether he thinks that the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, or whether he thinks that the Mishnah is a Divrei HaKol, but a case of Arar. Now, what exactly this Arar is, Rashi over here claims that Ein tzarich v'dika alim karu alea shnei edim shemetz shel psul. Two edim show up and say that there's some suspicions about this family. V'lo shmei edim edut gemura. It's not that they're coming and testifying that they know for sure or they have information in hand. Alitziat kol, they're talking about rumors that they heard. And since there are these rumors now being raised about this situation, even the Rabbonon would agree that you have to do the checks. On the other hand, the Rambam says that, unlike Rashi, the questioner or the Edim that are coming here are raising real issues. They're saying that within this family there were issues, and then you have to start checking because they're coming to make definitive statements about problems, not simply corroborating rumors, which is the nature of an Arar, which is that Ein Arar Pachot Mishnayim. And over here we have two Edim. Two Edim are coming and testifying that there is a real issue over here. Igad Amrei, there is another version of this. Same as what we just saw before in Rav Yehuda Marav, which is that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir, but all the other families are b'chazkat kashrut. Now their statement is made not about our Mishnah, but an independent statement. If there are questions that arise about this family's yichus because of a dim that come, either according to Rashi to substantiate rumors, or according to the Rambam to tell us that there is a psul in this family, then even the Chachamim agree that you have to do a check. But not assigning it to the Mishnah, then you can explain the Mishnah as being the Shita of Rabbi Meir. And then Rav Chama Rav Gurmi is making an independent statement, which is that if there are questions that arise, even the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Meir's Shita on this Mishnah. And in this way, we can reconcile between these two positions in the name of Rav, and they are not necessarily conflicting or contradictory. Ain both came in Mizbeach or the Malo. We don't check once we get to the Mizbeach. My taima. What's the reason? He loved the Badkua. Love a maskile. Because if they didn't check him, they wouldn't have allowed him to go service on the Mizbeach. Whether that's a Kohen, according to Tosavot, even someone who is Israel that is permitted to do some of the Vodot there, then they wouldn't let them to work by the Mizbeach unless they were Miyuchasin. Lo min Duchan or the Malo. My taima. Damarmar. Shama Yushvim Yachsei Kuna. So obviously, if you believe that Mina Duchan of the Mala is referring to the Levim and not to the Kohenim at all, then that's this statement from Midot is saying that there used to be a Beit Din of Kohenim that was there, that their job was simply to check on the Yichus of all the individuals who came to work in the Mikdash. That was true for the Kohenim and for the Levim as well. Rashi says that this was the Sanhedrin that said in the Yisrael Gazit. You can see in the Agota Gra that he thinks that's not correct, that it wasn't the Beit Din in Lishkat Gazit. The Beit Din Lishkat Gazit was the equivalent of the Supreme Court, and they were adjudicating real matters, or dinim. The court that we're speaking about here was a separate Kohanic court that dealt with these issues, but didn't necessarily sit in Lishkat Gazit. V'lo min Sanhedrin l'mala, my taimo, the Tani Rav Yosef, k'shem she-Beit Din menukim b'tzedek, kach menukim mikol mum. Just like a Beit Din has to be totally just, moral, and righteous, so too, they have to be cleaned of any mum. Amar Mareimar, Mikra. What is the pasuk? Kulach yafa rayati umum ein bach. You are all beauty. There is no mum in you. Ema muma mamash. Who says that we're speaking about yichus over here? Maybe we're talking about physical deformities, and that's what the issue is. So maybe you're right, and it has to do with the mum, but we have an alternate pasuk, as Avar of Acher Bayakov Amar Kras. The pasuk says, Vihit yatzvu sham imach. So here it's making Parsha Balotcha when Moshe asks for help, and they're going to give over part the Shekhinah to other people to help Moshe. So it says, Imach bedomim lecha. That when it means Imach, it means people that are similar to you. And just like Moshe was miuchas, so to the individuals that were chosen were miuchasim. Bedomim mishum Shekhinah. Maybe over there that's because of the unique property that these individuals were going to have the Shekhinah be shor on them. They're going to have nevuah. But in a regular case of adjudication, maybe that would not be true. Samar of Nachman Amakra, the pasuk says, Ve'akel me'alecha v'nasu itach. Here is by the case of Yitro, where they're going to appoint the judges to help Moshe out and lift some of the burden off of him. And over there again, it says, Itach bedomim lecha, with individuals that are similar to you, that are miyuchasim kamocha. So there is a requirement for the Dayanim to have all of these properties. First of all, they have to be individuals who are tzaddikim, people who are honest, with integrity, who are moral. Number two is they have to be lacking any physical deformities like Moshe. And in addition, they also have to be miyuchasim like Moshe Rabbeinu.
Kol mi shechutz gugu abutav mishotrei rabim, the memra, the lo makminu mipsulim. From this it sounds like, as Rashi said, that the shotrei rabim here references to regular dayanim. That means that you can't have psulim be dayanim. V'reminu, hakok shirim ladun dinei mimonot. When it comes to monetary matters, even a mamzer can be a dayan in the case of dinei mimonot. V'enakol kshirim ladun dinei fashot, which is not true by capital cases. V'avinon ba hakol dutui emai, that hakol, that anyone can be done a monetary matter, mai, what is that inclusion? V'amai Rav Yehuda lutui mamzer, even a mamzer. Zamar Abaye b'Yerushalayim, that this Mishnah is referencing the case in Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, they had a mala that even in dinei mimonot, they would only appoint dayanim that were miyuchasim and ksherim. V'chein tani Rav Shimon bar Zera, b'kidushe d'Beit Levi b'Yerushalayim. So too, Rav Shimon bar Zera says over, now b'kidushe d'Beit Levi, according to the Rashbam, means the Tosefta of Masechet Kiddushim of Levi, similar to that of Rav Chi and Rav Hoshaya, who are these transitional generation individuals who were after Rabbi, but before the time of the Amoraim, who put together the Braitot, Rabbi Hoshaya and Rabbi Chiya. And here, Levi, who's also a Talmid of Rabbi, had some sort of Tosefta that he put together, or in his Masechet Kiddushin, he also wrote B'Yerushalayim, that the Mishnah was referencing to the specific case of Yerushalayim. Gabayt staka masi'im, my taima. Kevin Deminze, Bahadei Inche, since they get into altercations with individuals, Damarmar mashkinim alat staka. Beit Din is allowed to take collateral to force people to pay their obligations with regards to staka or their commitments to staka. Bafilu be'erev Shabbat. Even on Erev Shabbat, they can go in and take that collateral. Therefore, they're going to, by definition, get into altercations with these individuals because they're not going to be happy about this person coming in and taking a mashkon. Bimita de'ika. If there is a problem, it le'kalo. It will come out because when people are angry, when people are upset about their taking a collateral or coming in to collect its tzedakah from them, then they will let loose on them. When they let loose on them, they're going to use whatever ammunition they have to put this individual down. And if there is any psul mishpacha, that will come out in these scenarios, and therefore people will know about them. The host, the bed and breakfast of Rav Adar Ba'ava, was a convert. Rabbi Kal Mintze Ihu v'Rabibi. He and Rabibi were having a disagreement. Maramar ana avidna siruta demato. I'm the one who is appropriate to run the matters of this city, to be basically the mayor of the city. Maramar ana avidna siruta demato. I'm the one who should be the mayor of the city. Atu de kamei de Rav Yosef. They went to Rav Yosef to adjudicate or to arbitrate the situation. Amalavu tanino. It's an explicit Mishnah. Som tasim alecha melech mikerev achecha. It says that when you put a king on you, he has to be mikerev achecha, kom simot shatam esim, any position of power that kavod that you appoint, lo yeh ela mikerev achecha, has to come from amongst your brethren, or in other words, he has to be a full-fledged Israel, an Israelite, and not a ger. So amar lei rav adar ba'ava, v'afilu imom Israel, what happens if his mother is Israelite, but his father happens to be a ger? Amar lei imom Israel, mikerev achecha k'rinam bei, if his mother is a Israelite, then he has the full status of Mikerev Achecha, and therefore he would be permitted to be the mayor of the city or act in the leadership of the city, and he would qualify for Mikerev Achecha. Tosafot in other places in Shas discusses the fact that Imam Yisrael might be enough for certain appointments, but when it comes to maybe the king himself, there it would require that both parents be Mi Yisrael. How far this goes in terms of Imam Yisrael in protecting him is subject to a machloket rishoni. Hilkach, Rabibi, the Gavra Rabahu, since Rabibi is a big gun, Talmud Chacham, Vayin v'milei d'shmaya, he'll take care of the spiritual matters of the city. As Rashi says over here, he'll be in charge of the Gavai Tztaka, v'kitzuta, v'chalukata, the collections and the distribution, v'seder mitu gramim u'maftirim, all to do with all the kavod that is distributed in the city, who is going to be the shamash, who's going to be the Gavai, who's going to be the maftir. All of these things will rest on the shoulders of Rav Bibi. Umar da'in b'milei demato. On the other hand, the ushbizichnei, the Rav Adar Ba'ava, he will run the more mundane matters of the city. As Rashi says, shartzar chei tzibur, the divrei rishut. things that are not in the world of spirituality or ruchaniyut, he'll deal with the basic needs of the city. And so they'll have a quote-unquote power-sharing agreement by which the religious and spiritual issues will be taken care of by Rav Bibi, and the more mundane and material issues will be dealt with by the Shbizichnei, the Rav Yadabava. Amar Abaye, Hilkach. Abaye was a Talmud of Yosef, who probably was a witness to this, says, Hilkach man de mashrei tzubra midrabanan, person who hosts and allows one to take a respite in their house, meaning that they provide a menucha, a place for a Talmud Chacham to sleep, in their bed and breakfast, they should make sure to host someone like Rav Adabava, the other mapech lebiskute, because he can speak up on your behalf, that person can help you out. So if you're going to host someone at least who can also benefit you in situations like this. Rabbi Zeira metapil behu. Rabbi Zeira used to ensure that the gerim were appointed to positions of authority. Now, whether that means gerim in general, or with the qualification that we saw before, that only when imom Yisrael, it's not clear here from the Gemara, but Rabbi Zeira used to make sure or ensure that they were appointed to these positions. Rabba Bar Avuha metapil behu. Rabba Bar Avuha did the same thing. B'marova in Eretz Yisrael afilu resh kurei lo machmen binayhu. In Eretz Yisrael, even someone who would be in charge of the weights and measurements, basically the ministry in charge of all weights and measurements, they wouldn't even appoint someone who was a ger to that position. In Narda, I feel a reish garguto lo mikame minayu. In Narda, they would also be machbid even for the appointment of the position of someone who was basically the police officer in charge of the water distribution or the water sharing rights. They wouldn't appoint from a ger. And that they were so machbi that even things that were of the lowest on the totem pole in terms of their positions of power, they would still not appoint someone who was not considered to be mikerev achecha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af mishahaya. Rabbi Yossi says that even someone who is enumerated amongst the people of, amongst the registers of Tzipori, maitaima, daike umechatme, because they're careful about who they put in there and who they sign up. Now, whether that means that the Edim, like the Rambam says, who sign, they're very careful about, and therefore they know that if they're signed on a document, they are miyuchasim. According to Rashi, if they appoint Dayanim only from people who are considered to be miyuchas, then their signatures on documents or their appointment as a Dayan, in of itself, is a stamp of approval of their yichus. Chena ben Tignus, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, b'chaylot shel Beit David. What is this estratia shel melech? That refers to the troops of David HaMelech. I'm Rav Yosef, Mikra. What's the pasuk that teaches you this? It says, "Vihit yachasam b'tzava hamilchama," that they are enumerated amongst the troops of the battle. And obviously the word here, yachasam, is a play on the word yichus as well. And therefore, those that were enumerated or counted amongst the troops that were there were also miyuchasim. The time am I. Why do we care that the troops were miyuchasim? Rav Yehuda Amarav, k'dei shei zuchutan, because when they go into battle, they have to have the help of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When the battle is not just about who's the strongest and who's trained the best, you need the Shechina to be Shora there, you need a Kodesh Baruch Hu to help you out. And therefore it's important that those troops are also miyuchasim. They have a schut of themselves, and they also have the schut of their forefathers to help them when they go to battle. Vayika, what about at the end of Shmuel Bet, where there's an enumeration of all the giborim that served in David's army and in part of those battles? Over there it says, Tzelek Hamuni. Sounds like this individual Tzelek who was an Ammonite. My love, the Atim Ammon. It must be that, why is he an Ammoni? Because he came from Ammon? Lo, the Yotiv Ammon. Not that he was actually an Ammonite, but he resided in Ammon. Vayika Uriah Achiti. What about the fact that Uriah was also Achiti? My love, the Atim Michet. That he came from Chet. Lo, the Yotiv Bechet. He resided there, was a resident there, but he was not necessarily Achitait himself. Even though there are midrashim that he was a ger, nevertheless, the Gemara over here suggests that that was not the case. Vayika Itai Hagiti. Itai Giti is mentioned when David is escaping Yerushalayim during the rebellion of Avshalom. So Itai Hagiti, what about him? It sounds like he's from Gat. Also here you're going to say that he resided in Gat, not that he was actually a person from Gat. V'amar Rav Nachman Itai Hagiti ba ubitla. That Itai Hagiti came along and nullify the Avodah Zarah, meaning that there is a principle in Avodah Zarah that if you have Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, then that Avodah Zarah can be mevutal ayidei a akum a yudei enachri, but not a yudei Israel. So here Rav Nachman tells us that Itai Giti was mevatel de vodazira on behalf of David Hamelech because he was a goy. Vodamar Yuda Amar Rav Arba Meot Yiladim Hayudo de David. But David had 400 children. Rashi doesn't say that they were literally children, but rather they were from the troops or from the army of Beit David. This was the case. Ukulam b'nei yifat toar. They were all children that came out of battles where these individuals took yifat toar, the parshia, in the beginning of Parshat Ki Teitzei. And obviously that would make more sense than that we're talking about the troops of Beit David and not David himself, because 400 would be excessive for David himself. Ayuv ukulam mistaprim komei umigadlin blorid. And all of these individuals had a haircut. Mistaprim komei seems to be that they used to cut the sides of the hair, a mohawk, and Megadlin Blorit was that they grew out in the back of their head, a ponytail of sorts. Kulam Yoshvim Mikuniyot Shel Zahav, and they were in these golden chariots. Yom Echalchim Beroshe Gaisot, and they were the front of the army. They were the first of the troops. They were the strong troops that led the forces forward. Vehein Hein Balei Gufim Shel Beit David. And they are the strong men of Beit David. Where it says, the Azledi B'utei B'alma. Rashi says here, they didn't participate in the battle at all. They just came to the battle to instill fear in the enemy. Others say that they did participate in the battle, but they were not enumerated. I mean, that they were not part of the standing army, but rather they were directly responsible to David HaMelech. And B'utei B'alma means that everybody was afraid of them, including the army of Beit David, because they were not answering within the hierarchy of the army, but rather directly to David HaMelech, and therefore they instilled fear both in the enemy as well as in the troops, and then they literally led the battle for Beit David. Okay, we're going to stop here at the bottom of Ayin Vav, Amud Bet.